It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Another edition of Fade the Chalk Live is back. I got my best friend Chris Meany up in the house to talk about trade targets before week three. Players that you can be getting on your rosters and off your rosters. Meany, good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
Good morning, dude. Yeah, I'm doing great. This is the energy that I needed to start my Wednesday. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to join you here today. And it's just, I like to have this conversation, you know, the buy lows, the sell highs, the roster trends. This is something that, you know, I'm into every single week. And, you know, people overreact. And there's usually an opportunity after a dud performance. Even if you don't think it was all that bad of a performance, there's an opportunity to buy low. And I think you should always be checking in on the owners in your leagues.
Oh, you absolutely have to. You have to look at the trade blocks. You got to be sifting through the teams and saying, who can I pounce on this week? And you've been doing this all season, and people need to go check it out, man. You just had your trade article post FTN Fantasy yesterday, your buy lows, sell highs. I mean, we're going to get into some players. I don't want to give too much away here, but people need to go check that out. And if you have not got signed up for FTN Fantasy, please do so today. Use the promo code FTC, save 10% at checkout, and you will get a mountain of content to help you crush your league all season long. Meany, kick us off here, man. First guy that you have got to be trading for.
All right, I got a couple here, but we'll start really high at the top, and this may surprise you. It's A.J. Brown, and you're thinking, how can I get A.J. Brown? Like, nobody is getting A.J. Brown. You're not going to be able to get him off of a roster. It's A.J. Brown. He's awesome. Well, two games, pretty underwhelming to start, sub 50 yards in each of those two games, which is something that only happened to him five times last season. He averaged a career high, I think, 76 yards per game last year. When I wrote up the trade targets last week, I said, buy the entire Titans offense. Get Henry if you can. Tannehill in a super flex league, try to grab him. Julio Jones, and then he topped 100 yards in his second game. And then A.J. Brown, I mean, he leads the league in drop passes. He had a couple brutal ones in week two. And again, I'm coming at you here with A.J. Brown. You'd be surprised that he could be available. I looked at the top 10 traded players in CBS sports leagues. He's number seven. So I don't know who's trading him, but I would be looking to acquire A.J. Brown. And yes, it's been a rough start for him. It's a new offense. It's a new offensive coordinator. They took a step forward, I thought, in week two. The defense has a lot of holes. I don't have to make a strong case for A.J. Brown, but the targets per game are up this season with the addition of Julio Jones. So it's not like Julio's coming in and taking all the looks away. And we're seeing a few targets here and there from Derrick Henry, which is unusual. He's probably going to set career highs in targets, catches, and receptions. I got a couple other ones for you, but A.J. Brown up at the top of the board, maybe just check in on the owner.
I like the call because, yes, you talked about the big names and people might not be like, oh, nobody's giving up A.J. Brown. That was really eye-opening to hear that he's in that top 10 of most traded players. And look, I've been out talking about how I think Todd Downing is a total buffoon. He's a moron. The play action rate went back up in week two. So please, we're all hoping, we're praying that Todd Downing can't screw this up. Like, there's too much talent here, Meany. I love the call here because people are worried about, okay, well, A.J. Brown has struggled with the drops like you talked about. He's got target competition with Julio. Like, this wasn't what people were so high on A.J. Brown walking into the season. Like, A.J. Brown is going to get 182 targets and he has no competition. Now he's got Julio in town, and people might be, like, after 2 weeks saying, well, I mean, good Lord, I spent, like, a second-round pick in my draft, which I know we're 2 weeks in, and yes, drafts are way back in the rearview mirror, but this is what people think about. And this is the thing that, like, they're like, well, I mean, I got to hold him, right? But he stinks, but I'm worried about my team that's 0-2, and people start getting jittery around this time, or even after week three, because they could be staring at 0-2, 0-3, like, man, I got a hole to dig. Like, I got to get myself out of this. And if I don't get myself out of this, I got no shot at the playoffs. So I like the call there, Meany. The first guy that I feel like you need to be getting, go out there, put an offer out. At least put a feeler out. Because the position is so god-awful and it's terrible. And that's Noah Fant. I like Noah Fant, and if anybody's tuned into this podcast, they've heard me talk about, oh, dear Lord, why was Noah Fant's ADP where it was at? What were we doing? But look, we try to adjust to news, to adjust to injuries, to adjust to all these different things. Jerry Jeudy being out. Teddy B is throwing deep, baby. This offense looks different than I thought it was going to look, Beanie. Like, I thought this was going to be a run-heavy offense. I thought they were going to basically play protect the ball and run, and Teddy's throwing deep. You have Noah Fant, who after two games, since he has the fourth most targets amongst all tight ends, 20% target share. He leads the team in red zone targets. And now you're staring at his schedule and you're like, oh, look at this. He's got the Jets, who were 27th in DVOA against the tight end last year. He's got the Ravens, who are 22nd. Pittsburgh's, okay, they defend them well. The Raiders, okay, well, they defend tight ends well. That's about the only damn thing the Raiders do well. And then he's got Cleveland, who are 28th. Like, this is a pretty good schedule coming up. And at a position, meaning we're like, I mean, come on. Like, you got Hockenson, you've got Waller, you got Kelsey. There's another guy we're going to talk about up there at the top who has not been doing great. And what else are we talking about with the top five or six tight ends? Like, Noah Fant has a path now to a 22% target share, 20% target share, and possibly sneaking in that top five. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I like it. I like the call. I think now's the time, right? You mentioned the Jets this week. Now's the time. I actually wrote up Teddy Bridgewater as a sell-high candidate in super flex leagues just because of the schedule like that you talked about, but it's great for tight ends. But Teddy B is pushing the ball down the field. I mean, I was very impressed with week two, but again, he played Jacksonville and he played the Giants, but the schedule does turn. It's a little tougher for quarterbacks, but it, like you said, it's great for tight ends. And I actually read somewhere somebody saying that they should sell Fant because Big A was, you know, getting a little bit more run. He's probably the superior blocker, but Fant is going to be on the field. He's an absolute weapon. You have Jerry Jeudy, who's out for, you know, the next few weeks. He's going to miss at least a quarter of the season, maybe even half of it. You just don't know when he's going to come back. So Fant is going to be a big part of this offense. And even in those tough matchups, you know, I have a lot of confidence in Fant. Yeah. The other tight end that, you know, you brought up, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this is George Kittle. Because a lot of people are talking about him. They don't know what to do with George Kittle. Oh, he doesn't score any touchdowns. You know, he's never really scored that many touchdowns. I think he's got 15 in 44 games. It's not really, you know, his game. And the Niners run a lot of, you know, they just run a lot. But they've had two very soft matchups against Detroit and Philadelphia where they really haven't had to push the pace and throw the ball to anybody else other than Deebo Samuel. It's been a lot of Deebo. It's been basically just him in this offense. But the schedule starts to turn. There's some tougher matchups here for the 49ers where I believe Green Bay's on the schedule here. Let's see who else that they got. Just matchups where I think they'll really have to throw the football here. And for Kittle, if you're looking at the tight end rankings and you see he's not even inside the top 10 and you spent that high capital on him, you're probably pretty sour. But Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, like those are three matchups where I think we'll see San Fran throw the football just a little bit more. And you look overall, 9 targets, 8 grabs, 95 yards. Like that's not really all that appealing. But I think we'll see teams zone in a little bit on Deebo. It remains to be seen if Brent Ayuk is even going to be a part of this offense. I think he will. Oof. But there's an opportunity for Kittle. If I'm ranking the rest of the way right now among tight ends, Kittle's not number 3. Like it's Hockenson ahead of him for sure. Andrews, I'm a little sour on. Pitts over Kittle. But Kittle still has that ceiling, that upside. He's still a really good player, and he's going to have his moments where he finishes with, you know, 70 plus yards here and there. Maybe he finds the end zone. You just get him pretty cheap. And, you know, again, another guy like Gronk, I would probably rather have than Kittle. Things change pretty quickly in the NFL. There's a buy low opportunity right now for Kittle. If your tight end position is pretty weak, you talked about how bad the position is overall. There's a lot of dudes that are just not consistent. At least Kittle has that ceiling where those other inconsistent tight ends that you're plugging in, hoping that they can find the end zone for you, they're just not as consistent and that ceiling isn't as high.
Well, and the thing about Kittle is how many tight ends, can you say like that when they have a ceiling game can go out and literally win you a week? I mean,
yeah, like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, exactly. You got Kelsey, you got Waller. I don't even think Hockenson's in that category. Like We haven't seen any massive ceiling games from Hockenson. Yes, like, he's been good to start the season, but do you say, like, Hockenson has, like, 8 for 140 and 2 touchdowns type of upside? I don't think that he has that in his bag of tricks. Maybe we see it this year, but Kittle has that, man. And just because we haven't, it's been 2 damn games, people. 2. These next 3 games. Because
a lot of people aren't in. They're sour about Kittle.
I'm in for it. And I'll end for it because here's the thing. Shanahan, when he can run, will run. And then Kittle is just going to run block. But you look at those matchups. You talked about Green Bay. Anybody that talks about Green Bay as a good matchup for the run game, you're working on outdated data, baby. I'm sorry. It is 2021. You need to go check your stats. Last year, their run defense was good. If they didn't need to tell you like that versus Detroit, I know Detroit was not great. They could not run the ball versus them. Green Bay, you attack them with pass-catching backs. That is going to be a high-total game. Kittle is going to get usage. Then you talk about the other two teams. It was Seattle and Arizona. Both of those teams have good run defenses. I know that Derrick Henry just eviscerated them, but it's freaking Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry does that to... could do that to damn near everybody. Could truck stick an entire defense, okay? So let's take that with a grain of salt. Both of those other games are going to be probably like... I mean, if we're forecasting right now, Meanie, totals over 50. Somewhere in that range. High total games. And Arizona's run defense has been good. So you want to talk about those next 3 matchups? Yes, those are all ceiling opportunities for Kittle in games where San Francisco could be forced to 1, throw the ball, and 2, put up points to stay in these games. I love this call. People might be surprised about how much I love this call, but I do. Because the fact of it is that you spin up for Kittle, and you know the type of ceiling and what he can do. Just because we haven't seen it through 2 games. The other thing that we saw in a really small sample, meaning, was week 1, the dude went out and posted 78 yards on 5 freaking targets. If he gets 6 or 7, maybe he goes over 100. Like, that's crazy!
Yeah, and you know, against the Eagles, San Fran didn't even really try to pass the ball. And they were just focusing on running the football. You know, Kittle does so much that, you know, he is blocking quite a bit, and, you know, they're running the rock there. But like we just talked about, I mean, the matchups will force them to throw the football a little bit more. And I'm trying to envision, like, who would sell Kittle? Like, maybe somebody picked up Gronk. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gronk wasn't drafted, right? It's very possible. Or maybe somebody just, like, has a Gerald Everett who wasn't really involved in week 1 but found a way to catch a couple balls for 2 touchdowns. And Will Disley's in there stealing some snaps. And the tight end position is so weak that there really is an opportunity to upgrade here with a guy who does have top 5 upside. So, I'm glad to hear that you're backing it, because I had this conversation with Jake on his show on All in Football, Bets TV, and we were a little on the fence, and we were getting a ton of questions throughout the show that made me think, you know what, if there's so many people worried about Kittle, it makes me think, you know what, there really is an opportunity to grab this guy.
There really is. And the other thing that I harped on the offseason, I wrote it up over at FTN Fantasy before the season kicked off, is how I approach, and I think that this is another one that, like, it bears credence to the size of your league when I bring this up too, is that when I play in 10-team leagues, Meanie, I have to have an elite tight end. Because you've played in these leagues, Meanie, whether it's your home league or whether it's freaking industry leagues. If you're playing in a 10-team league, it's, we all got all-stars, baby, but who has the most all-stars and whose all-stars are better than the other all-stars? And for that, I want have to have an elite tight end. And for this is a good buying opportunity to get Kittle on your team, especially in that type of format where people might not view him in that light. He didn't want to roll out of bed and forget how to play football, people. The San Francisco is going to be forced, especially, like, we didn't even talk about the fact of their backfield injuries. You think they're going to run the damn ball 25, 30 different times when they got Elijah Mitchell and who knows what after him?
Good call.
I don't know. So, could they lean more into the pass? I see it coming, man. And especially those 3 matchups you talked about, love all of those. So, with all the trade offers we're talking about, players you're getting on and off your rosters, this is always one of those ways where you're adding competition to your leagues, your home leagues, your office leagues. Another way to do that, and still, to make some more money in playing fantasy football is head to TopRopSports.com. Do that today. Enter the promo code FTN. Get signed up. Import your league from ESPN or Yahoo today. And you could do head-to-head contests. You could put a money on these matchups and get people to shut their mouths. Head over there today, TopRopSports.com, promo code FTN. Meanie, we talked about guys to get on your rosters. Any other guys you want to get here on the edge before we flip the script?
I think Michael Carter, I think it's an opportunity to buy him. Now, I said last week that, you know, it could turn out to be, a Cam Akers situation. I'll backtrack and take the L on that. I don't think he has that type of upside because this offense is not going to be great and the offensive line is poor, but there's still a buying opportunity here as well. And you know, it's just, he played the same amount of snaps as Ty Johnson. Tevin Coleman is a non-factor inside this offense. And we're just starting to see an uptick here in Carter in terms of routes run, targets. I mean, he led the way for the Jets. And the fact that he's led the way already through 2 weeks, I feel like his role is only going to increase. Now, it is a brutal offense. Don't get me wrong. The ceiling is probably not that high. But to get a guy as like a bench guy who could fall into a larger workload, and who knows, maybe he could help out this offense a little bit more. So I think he is one that I would keep an eye on. He probably won't cost you too much, to be honest with you. You know, you may even find him on the waiver wire. I was looking at the top 10 dropped players, and he was just outside the top 10. So maybe you could just pick him up for free. There are like several in the article, and I know we won't touch on all of them, but I would honestly love to get your thoughts on guys like Saquon, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like those three backs, they're available if you want them. Maybe not Saquon, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson, Jonathan Taylor, like these are running backs that people are sour on, D-Bro.
Yeah, man. I don't understand why people are jumping ship on Antonio Gibson just yet. He's ran good in both different games. Yes, J.D. McKissick has been involved. J.D. McKissick was always going to be involved. I mean, like the ceiling outcome was CMC, but it's not like Antonio Gibson was going to be bad regardless of whatever. Like, even in last year's role, he was an RB1. Even in that role, maybe plus this year, he could still be an RB1, a top 10 running back. So just because he hasn't gotten the touchdowns yet through two games, and people are like, oh, well, Fitzpatrick is out. Taylor Heinicke hasn't looked bad. Now, this matchup this week is not great for him, but that doesn't mean that Antonio Gibson still can't have a good game. So I'm not pushing the button on getting rid of Gibson. Taylor, dear God in heaven, all of my DFS lineups last week were hurting because the thing with Taylor is he got every red zone opportunity he could have possibly wanted and he had no touchdowns. And then we see Marlon Mack getting involved. So I got a little more worries about Taylor right now in the early going. I would not be getting rid of him. But if you can get him in a trade, especially if somebody's going to like, if they're just giving up on him, fine, I'll take him. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, dude, like, what? Look.
Yikes.
I'm worried about him. I'm worried about him. But what I'm going to say here is this matchup this week is a really good bounce back spot. It's a really good opportunity that I think on both sides of the fence. If you're sour on CEH, do not get rid of him right now. What are you going to get for him? A ham sandwich? Like pennies on the dollar? Like you're not getting anything for him. If you look, hold him this week. I preached that in one of my articles that I wrote up in Dynasty over at FTN Fantasy today. And because the Chargers are bottom five in damn near every line yard metric that I care about in fantasy. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this is a really good bounce back spot for him. If he doesn't do anything this week, then you're still getting the nothing that you were going to get this week for him next week. But if he bounces back this week, he gets into the end zone, he has a good day on the ground, then you're going to get more a trade for him. So I would be holding him. Real quick, before we flip this over to players to get rid of, those three guys, where do you stand on Jonathan Taylor, CEH, and Gibson as of right now?
Gibson, I'm in on. I agree. Like, I was hesitant to rank him as a top 10 back. I saw it in the industry because I just didn't know if he could fully be a bell cow. Now, I do believe that he can be. I mean, God, he's a wide receiver, converted running back. Like, he can catch. I don't understand why he's not on the field in a 2-minute drill. In a 2-minute drill last week against the Giants, 19 snaps, McKissick played all of them, 19, and Gibson had one. And they line him out wide sometimes. I don't fully get it. They didn't run out the clock with him, and Heinicke had the turnover. I don't know if that had anything to do with the fumble late in week one, which kind of cost them against the Chargers. Do they trust this guy? I don't know. I mean, he was like 5.2 yards per pop on 15 carries. Why don't you just give him the ball and run it out? So I think the biggest thing with Gibson is that he's still learning the running back position. Right, he didn't play that in college, so he's still learning to pass protect. He's got to get better in that situation, but I am in on buying him. Like I said, just because I didn't have him ranked as a top 10 back doesn't mean I don't think he can finish as a top 10 back. I think he truly does have that upside to be the guy, but it was a little discouraging to see him not on the field on a two-minute drill, not really on the field in third down roles. But the first and second down rolls, it's all him. But again, he was, you know, snaked. JD came in and stole a goal line touch from him and it converted for a touchdown, which is super frustrating. But I'm in on him. Taylor, I have concerns as well, but now is the time. I mean, you just brought up Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack is getting on the field, touching balls. People see that. They just don't. That leaves a sour taste in their mouth. But Jonathan Taylor leads the NFL in red zone rushing attempts, and he leads the NFL in carries inside the five. I think we'll see some positive regression from him. But also, there's a lot of question marks at the quarterback position as well. But I think there is an opportunity. And CEH, I think you just said it perfectly. It's just now's not the time to sell. I don't love the usage. It doesn't seem like they really want to throw the football to him, and it doesn't seem like they trust him at all in the red zone. For a guy to finish with what? What did he have, like 5 fantasy points on a team that scored like well over 30, yeah, linked to a top 5 offense? It's super discouraging, but it is, you know, this roughly this time 2 years ago, a lot of people were talking about him as like a future Hall of Fame running back inside this offense. I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs will find a way to get him more involved and be productive. I think there's all three of them I'm interested in. I would probably rank them Gibson, CEH, and Taylor. I probably rank them like that. But honestly, the most concerns I do have surround CEH.
And I think everybody's worried about him. And look, I'm not saying that it's great with Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. Like, this offense has been predicated, it still runs through Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. We're still looking at a player, meaning that we're worried about usage concerns for all of these different guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire through two games, dude, 87% of their rushing attempts. And he is 12th in routes run at the running back position. If I were to tell you that in a box, and I said, if I could give you, or I could say, okay, this player could be available in your leagues, and he has 87% of the team's rushing attempts, he's a top 12 guy in routes run, would you want to go get that player? And he is in a top 5 offense in the NFL.
Yes.
If I framed it that way, would anybody be sitting here saying, oh my Lord, I want to go trade for that guy, and he's available? Yes.
And then also, D-Bro, you should tell the backup options. Like, there's no, like, Williams and McKinnon, these guys are not really a threat to take all the touches away. So I think, like,
but
I said,
people are talking about Williams. They're like, but he got the red zone carry. It's 1-0. It's literally 1-0.
Yeah, that's
pushing the needle for you. 1-0. Like, come on, man.
This is the energy I needed on a Wednesday morning, sir. Exactly. And also, let's give some confidence to Reed. Last year was a complete it was tough for a lot of rookies, especially running backs, to learn the playbook and not getting in there in preseason action. You got the whole offseason. So I'm confident that Andy Reed and company will find a way to have this guy, you know, just make him productive. So he's certainly available, D-Bro. Like, he is inside the top 15 in traded players. Like we talked about, don't trade these guys at their low. Wait. If you don't truly feel great about him, you just gave a bunch of great stats against the Chargers. If you don't truly feel great about him, you hope that he can have a bounce back week here, and then you can flip him, and you have that recency bias is totally a thing in fantasy. So you sell high. You don't sell at the low point.
No, absolutely love that call, man. Let's flip the script. So lead us off here. Who's a guy that you're like, bye, see ya, sayonara, not yesterday, but today, but not today, but yesterday. Go, you're gone.
Yeah, it's Devin Singletary. I don't know how much you can get for Singletary. Now, he was the sell-high candidate for me last week because I expected Zach Moss to come back eventually, and he did. And not that Moss was super productive last week, but he found the end zone twice. And if I would have sold Singletary after week one, I would have missed out on roughly like 17 fantasy points. And a decent day, he had 82 rushing yards, which is something he only did twice last season. But the thing is, it's a crowded – it's not so much that it's a crowded backfield, but this Bills team, they want to throw the football. Josh Allen is inside the top five in red zone rushing attempts. He's inside the top five in passing attempts. And now that Zach Moss is back, it just makes it more crowded. And he probably only had double digit carries is because they were up 30 some odd points against Miami. Now the Bills are great. They're going to score a lot of points, but I don't expect them to be blowing out every team where they'll just absolutely lean on the run. So Singletary, while he has looked good, and he has looked like the better back over the past 2 years comparing him and Zach Moss. He was drafted after him this season and last season, and he outperformed him last year. And he is the guy that's going to catch some passes out of the backfield. But I'm all for these, like, let's package two or three guys to get a better player. Could you package Singletary and an ex-wide receiver like, I don't know, Zach Pascal, who, sure, maybe you can't get too much for Pascal, but he's got 3 touchdowns here in 2 games. Could you package him and somebody else for a better player like an Antonio Gibson, like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Like, it's very possible that you could do something like that. Flipping him one for one, the return is probably not there. But I think when Zach Moss gets, you know, more healthy here, this is basically a split. And what we've been saying for the entire offseason and last year as well is that this team loves to throw, and that Josh Allen is a guy that, you know, will call his own number inside the red zone. So I think, you know, selling high now on Singletary is the way to go.
I like that call. And yes, people are like, well, who is really going to be trading for Devin Singletary? Is the pushback we always
get. You'd be surprised.
Stuff like that. I think, one, yes, you'd be surprised. And two, you're like you're talking about, the move is not to say, okay, league, here's a trade block. Who wants Devin Singletary? Who wants Devin Singletary? The move is to add Devin Singletary into a trade to upgrade, to get up to another position. Whether you're like, okay, I'm going to go from, I mean, look, I think you could either say like, okay, I'm going to trade you, say, Mark Andrews and Devin Singletary and get up to maybe TJ Hockenson, maybe
Kittle. There you go.
Maybe things like that where you're upgrading and buying low on a player, or you're getting up a tier, man. Like, I still like Terry McLaurin, but if you could go from Terry McLaurin and Devin Singletary to Keenan Allen, then I would do that. I think that there are ways where you can get creative and, one, get Devin Singletary off your roster. The thing about Devin Singletary is the ceiling is always going to be capped. And it sucks for him because he looks lights out this year. Like, he looks like a player. It's like, if they would give him 15 carries a game, the dude would pop off. Like, he looks explosive this year. He's running really, really well. But it's like, for as much as we could all sit here and say, okay, give him the work, we all know that's not going to happen. He's not going to get the touchdowns. I know he scored last week, but that's not going to happen. That literally might be like 25% of his rushing touchdown total for the entire freaking season in that game. So I like the call of getting rid of Devin Singletary. I'm going to stay in the running back position and talk about a guy that you brought it up before we turned the mics on, Meanie, who's in the top three. What is he, the most traded player?
The most traded player in CBS leagues. The most traded player. And 2 weeks ago, he was the most picked up player. So people are selling high.
I mean, I'm with it. I agree with it heavily, and that is Tyson Williams. And the reason that I say all of this is because if you head over to ranks, and this is part of how you put the bow on it, and you package, and you say, oh, look at this, it's shiny, it's pretty, you want this, right? Yes, take this. Is that Tyson Williams is the RB12 in PPR scoring right now. That is part of the shine, the shimmer. Now, the worries with Tyson Williams is that he's sharing the red zone role. He has 4 red zone carries. Lamar Jackson has 4. And Latavius Murray, oh dear God, can he just go away, has 3. And now we're staring at a matchup where Tyson Williams gets to eat up the Lions. Everybody just saw in their mind's eye Aaron Jones go out and score 4 touchdowns versus this team. You have to get rid of Tyson Williams now, immediately, today, before Thursday, before Sunday, before this kicks off in week 3, because after this matchup, he has Denver and he has Indy, who are 8th and 13th in rush DVOA. Like, that's not good, man. And then he's got the other specters that are hanging around him in Lamar Jackson and Latavius Murray. This is the time right now, and we're talking about it. People are like, one, if you could sell high and people are like, oh, yeah, baby, he's an RB1, which might not be in your leagues if you play in sharper leagues or people that know what they're doing. But the other thing we're talking about is you could do the same move we're talking about with Devin Singletary. You package him with somebody else, you get an upgrade in another position, and somebody, the other team walks away being like, oh man, I got a top 20 running back, you gave me a wide receiver too, I'm feeling really good, I've got two startable players for the season moving forward, and you're walking away with a wide receiver one, a top 15 guy, a guy that's top 15, maybe he has top 5 type of upside. Like, if you could package Tyson Williams and a low-end wide receiver to somebody just out of the air, like T. Higgins or such, to get up to A.J. Brown? Oh, yes, give me that action.
You know what? I love that call. I wrote him up as well. And I was actually surprised you were going to go with Williams because I know how much you I know how sour you are on Latavius Murray. So I was like, But he does. There's a couple things here, too. Williams does look like the better back. So if you've watched the games, you're thinking, oh, man, Williams looks pretty fresh. Like, he's catching balls in the backfield. He looks more explosive. Yeah, I'd like to get this guy. But there are a couple things to take away from it. Week one, he missed a massive pass blocking assignment, which Lamar got rocked and fumbled the ball. And he didn't play again after that. And before that, he fumbled the ball, but luckily it went out of bounds. So I noticed he didn't play after that. And Latavius, who was new to the team, hadn't really known the playbook. His first couple carries didn't look good. I think like one of them was like negative one. He got smashed behind the line. Maybe not his fault, but he looked slow. He looked like, oh, this is why the Saints didn't want to restructure his contract. And they said, see you later. And that to me was like, okay, maybe it's just one game. But I noticed that the Ravens liked Latavius and they trusted him more when the game was on the line in the fourth quarter to pass protect and as like that veteran back. And then in week two, Williams looks good again. He missed another pass blocking assignment. He fumbled in the red zone, which the Ravens luckily recovered. So that's two fumbles that really didn't cost him. And then you mentioned the red zone carry, which he couldn't get in. Latavius has back-to-back weeks now with a couple red zone rushing attempts, which he has converted into touchdowns. And you know what? He looked okay on those runs. He looked strong. He was running through tackles, and he found a way to find the end zone. So I am with you. It's not just Latavius. Freeman's on that roster. We could talk about him all you want, but he was still getting some snaps. Williams is not – he didn't have over 50% of the snaps in week two, and the Ravens have been on record to say that they want to use all of their running backs, and they are a really good team at running the football. So it will be frustrating at times. You don't know if I don't think Williams is going to be the goal line back. I think Latavius is after maybe Lamar Jackson, who runs a couple in, but I think it's a great call by you and the most traded player. So I think a lot of people – I think there's both sides of it. People are with us that they want to sell him and get him off the roster now, and they see the matchup coming. Like, this is the time to do it. And then on the other side, people are like, yeah, you know what? He looks pretty good. He looks like the best back. I'm going to acquire him. I'm going to try to grab him and, package him and upgrade another position. That's the thing. Like, it's one for one. What are you going to get? Maybe not a whole lot, but if you can package him like a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1, I'm all about that every time. If you get the best player in the trade, that's a win.
I agree. I mean, I think that the upgrade is a good call, as well as like if you can get out from underneath that. Like, I think this also talks about like meaning, like the fact that people are like they want to go. He's the most traded player. Is that the running back position is scary right now? Like, outside of like maybe the top 5 guys, top 8 guys, you're like, oh my lord! Like they haven't done anything. They haven't scored. They're not getting work. Like, guys that I paid first and second round picks on are not doing anything. What am I going to do at running back position? And people are freaking out at that position. So I think if you're able to get rid of Tyson Williams and even go get somebody like, and this is a player that I like a lot. And I know, dear God, Adam finds a way to sneak into the show even when he misses today. Is that if you could go trade Tyson Williams for like even Marvin Jones, I would do that in a heartbeat because of his usage after two games. Like, that is steady production at that position.
Yeah, Marvin Jones is, he's just outside the top 10 as well. I'm not selling. The volume is opportunity. No. Volume is king. It's king, yep. And he's just going to get it. Trevor Lawrence isn't a guy that I would want to roster. Like, there's a lot of holes in that offense. They don't even have a red zone rushing attempt in Jacksonville yet this year, which is crazy to think about. But the volume is going to be there. Marvin Jones is going to be a guy that I think, I mean, what is he inside the top 10 in targets? He's going to be a guy that is definitely finishes inside the top 15 in targets this year. The volume is absolutely king. Plus, he's good. Like, I'm with Adam. Like, good. I'm a Jones guy too. Yeah.
Plus, he's good. He's getting red zone work. He's going to score probably again this week. So I think he's an easy guy that, like, where the name is not matching the production and people are like, he's 31. He's in the Jaguars. Like, these things don't matter. What matters is he scores fantasy points. He gets high value touches and he gets volume. And those are the things you really should care about instead of saying, oh, look at these sexy names that do nothing in my roster. So we've talked about players to get on and off of rosters, Meanie. I'm going to flip this over. We're going to answer some questions. So as we're going through this, all of your trade questions, toss some more in here. We're going to run through these, answer your questions live on the show. First one here, Meanie. Would you trade Zeke if you could get Gibson and Waddle back, 0.5 PPR? I'm going to say yes. I would be doing that. I like Gibson's touchdown opportunities in this offense. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Getting Waddle is a nice little piece, too. There's going to be a connection there with him and Tua in the slot. There's no question. So, yeah, absolutely. I like Zeke overall, but he's not a top five back. He's just
no.
Pollard deserves to have touches.
He does. He's playing well, man. And the thing that, like, with Zeke is they've always held Tony Pollard back. Pollard got a lot of run last week. And, I mean, if you have Zeke, I think that's scary. So, people could be more worried about J.D. McKissic. J.D. McKissic's situation versus Antonio Gibson and Pollard versus Zeke, they're very, very different conversations right now. Heading over, and this is Dynasty. I'm guessing this is a one-for-one here. Jamar Chase or A.J. Brown, man?
That's a trade. That would be like I would consider that a blockbuster, even though it's just one-for-one. Like, that's a big trade. I'm leaning AJ, but man, that's real close here. I'm looking ahead and trying to project the Bengals. Like, Boyd is probably a guy that doesn't stick on this roster in the future. And, you know, maybe it's just Chase and T. Higgins. But I still like the upside with AJ Brown. What do you think, man? That's a close one. That's almost like a sideways move.
I feel like it's kind of a wash, to be honest. But if I'm going to take one side of this, I still think there's equity, and we could see Jamar Chase rise up dynasty rankings. I'm going to go with Chase on this one because I think that you're getting a player that, like, unlike A.J. Brown, if you head over to most dynasty rankings, he's probably inside the people's top three, top five. Jamar Chase is not there, probably. And with Jamar Chase, I mean, you could talk about youth, and that's the first thing people go to, and the youthers all in dynasty. Where I'm going with is I like to try to roster players that I feel like over the next season can increase their dynasty stocks and rise up dynasty rankings. I feel like there's still some meat on the bone with Jamar Chase and AJ Brown. He's probably at his ceiling of what we think about him in dynasty purposes, as well as, again, I'm worried about Todd Downing because I think he's just a damn moron. And Jamar Chase, like, I think Tyler Boyd could be gone, like you're talking about. And as soon as next season, if they continue to upgrade the offensive line, we're talking about the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins show. And so then you're looking at, okay, does Jamar Chase walk into a 22-25% target share? Because it's not three guys, it's two. So that's kind of where I sit. Staying on the dynasty angle, Meanie, Mark Andrews and a mid-round pick for Kittle and dynasty. I like that. I would do that. I like Andrews. It's not because I don't like Andrews, but I think that Kittle is still a better player to have in Dynasty. What do you think?
Yeah, same. I'm actually a little worried about Andrews. I like him too overall, but Brown has had two strong games to start the season. He had a very strong finish. He's among the leaders in target share. As surprisingly, Sammy Watkins is also getting a ton of targets, and your boy Rashad Bateman is going to be back soon too. And plus, this is a team that, yeah, maybe they want to push the ball down the field, but man, when they played the Chiefs, they weren't going to, like, okay, fine, we'll go toe-to-toe with you and throw the football over the field. They still stuck to their game plan, and they ran the football. So I would make this deal for sure. And a mid-round pick is probably, you know, not, I mean, really much to give up.
It's not worth anything. Like, if anybody's throwing like a third, if anybody like offers you anything past a first or a second in the dynasty trade, it's fluff. It's garbage.
I agree.
It's window dressing. It's somebody saying, here, they're throwing glitter on the trade and saying, oh, take it. It's shiny, right? No, nobody likes glitter. Everybody hates glitter. Glitter is terrible. You don't want glitter. how I get off on a tangent on glitter, I don't know, but this is where we're at, my friend. Besides CEH, JT, and Gibson, any other guys that stand out to you as buy low running backs right now?
You know, Saquon, I check in. Again, recency bias is such a thing, and I wrote up a few over at FTNFantasy.com and just also like some quick notes on guys to check in on. Austin Eckler, I don't think he's available, but it's possible. Saquon Barkley, I would just check in. You know, he played over 80% of the snaps in week two, and he had the strong run. I just feel like the one sour note I have with Saquon, it's not even so much the offensive line. I thought it looked pretty good against Washington. I just wish the Giants would be a little bit more creative with Saquon Barkley, find a way to be more creative as an offense. And part of that is a lot of it is on Jason Garrett. But I check in on Saquon and I check in on Alvin Kamara just because of the one game. I mean, again, recency bias is such a big thing. What did he have? Like a couple fantasy points and a couple carries. He really didn't do a whole lot. The Saints aren't running a lot of plays. I'm worried about them overall as an offense. But those are guys that I would check in on. Just running backs. That's it. I think, you know, we hit on the big three there, which, you know, that's the question that, you know, CEH, Taylor, and Gibson. Those are the big three.
I like the call there. And there's another guy that I want to get up in here. I think if you can go out, especially after everybody was so high on him going into last game, and then we see him get vultured, it's like, okay, what's his ceiling? Blah, blah, blah. I think Nick Chubb is a guy that you could possibly go out there and get this
week. Oh, my goodness. Yes, do it if you can.
If you could do that, oh, please, please go get him. He's going to run. He's going to have touchdowns. This offensive line is still really damn good. They were banged up heading into this game. I think if there's a possibility you can go out and somebody is I'm not going to say souring, but like at least willing to entertain offers for Nick Chubb, I would be going out there and getting Nick Chubb anywhere you possibly can.
Dude, he is RB4, and people are complaining about his usage. He's RB4. He has a game with 11 carries and 15, and he still has 178 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, people last in the offseason, they talk about Kareem Hunt, and they say, oh, well, you know, Chubb, he had 12 touchdowns in 12 games. He can't continue that. Maybe he can, right? He's a touchdown-per-game guy now for over a year. He's an absolute stud, and the carries, like you said, well, they'll pick up. Go get him if you can. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't move this guy. There's no chance.
Oh, hell no. I wouldn't be moving him at all, but I think it's a good point that, like, there's so much overreaction after two games, people. Like, breathe. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like, even if you're 0-2, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be making dumb trades in your league. You don't have to gut your teams even more. Like, hold on to some of these players. Breathe, baby. Get some coffee. It's going to be all right. I promise. If you're going out there and trying to get Keenan Allen on a team, some guys that you'd be putting out there as bait. We talked about Devin Singletary. I think I would be looking to get Keenan Allen by the RB position is terrible right now. You're not probably giving up somebody to go up and pay up for Keenan Allen. I think the move to get Keenan Allen is to take one of your mid-range wide receiver two types and you throw something with that guy and you try to move up to Keenan Allen. So, like one of these Bengals wide receivers. I talked about T. Higgins. I would be going and packaging something or somebody with Chase to get up to Keenan Allen. Anybody else standing out to you, Meany, there that like where you think you could like put together a trade for Keenan Allen?
Yeah, I think you know, as good as Marquise Brown has been and Brennan Cooks, Sterling Shepard, these are guys that I would have no problem, you know, packaging to get a Keenan Allen. I don't think he could do it one for one, but they're all inside the top 10 here in fantasy points. They're having really strong parts of the season. I mean, Marquise Brown, 12 grabs, 182 yards and 2 touchdowns like that. I would make that swap. I mean, I believe in Keenan Allen. I believe in the skill set, the targets, the volume. I believe in this Chargers team. They're running a lot of plays in the red zone. They haven't yet figured it out. It's a new coaching staff there. So those are guys that, you know, and Cooks, like, what do you do with Cooks? The volume is going to be there all season long. Now we're going to see Davis Mills in there with the quarterback play. Like, there's the wide receiver group is so thin that you could probably sell him. And to get a guy like Keenan Allen back, I still think that would be a win, even though maybe he won't have as much volume this season. I think that the better player would be Keenan. So like some of those guys that have just had really hot starts, you could package them with a Singletary, and then, you know, getting the best player involved in the package again, like is a W.
So we talked about this before we turned the mics on, and people hate this guy. And I told people to go out and trade for him last week. I want to get this in here, Meanie. Like, if you could go out and trade Chris Godwin or Mike Evans to get up to Keenan Allen, would you? Because I feel like that's an easy move. I feel like there's a stable target share with Keenan Allen that he's going to get 10 to 12 targets on a weekly basis. There's no rotation between, like, what are you rotating between him and Mike Evans? That's really literally it for the Chargers. And some people might not look at, like, okay, going from Chris Godwin to Keenan Allen as being a major upgrade. I look at it as being that because I think the floor and the ceiling is very similar, but I think the floor on a weekly basis for Keenan Allen is so much higher than Chris Godwin that I would be going and trying to, like, trade Mike Evans to get up to Keenan Allen, and people might look at that as a lateral move. I don't think it's that, man. I mean, what are your thoughts there?
No, I agree 100%. I think Godwin is the safest Bucs wide receiver. He just has that role in the slot. And I think, you know, Evans and AB will rotate through good games. And we've already seen that. We saw a little bit last year, but we've seen it in week one. It was AB, and then we saw it in week two. It's Evans, and maybe it's AB this week. I'm with you. Keenan Allen, I mean, what he just had a down game, and he had 108 yards, four catches on eight targets. He's averaging 12 targets per game with Justin Herbert in the two games. I excluded the two games last year against the Saints. He left early. Due to an injury, he still had a cut touchdown pass, but he only had two targets. And then there was a game against the Raiders late in the season where he left early with an injury as well that he didn't get like eight targets. But other than that, it's been at least seven in all of his games, full games with Justin Herbert, averaging 12 per game now. Absolutely. That's the guy that I would get. I would have no problem trading Mike Evans for him.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good move, man. Thank you to everybody for throwing in your questions for this part of the episode. Again, we're going to be back next week discussing not only Waiver Wire show will be live, our trade show will be live. Meanie, before we get up out of here, man, you are doing fantastic work across FTN Bets. You are slaying at FTN Bets right now. The units are going up and up and up and up, my friend. I know we're all still hurting over the Aaron Jones rushing prop, but we'll be back. We'll be better with that. Walk us through any other things. I know that, and I appreciate you stepping off the mean streets for just a second to hop into the show today and take Adam's place. So thank you, man, for stopping by. Push any kind of content you got coming out from FTN today, tomorrow, the rest of the week.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me, man. Anytime. We'll have some start and sits on Thursday. I have my top DFS plays on our YouTube page on Wednesday. Alex Blickle of FTN is joining me today on Mean Streets. We're going to talk about his top DFS plays for the week. He's a big Philly guy.
So we won't hold.
He's so sharp, man.
Good Lord.
I'll be with him and Kyle Murray every Friday talking some DFS plays over at ftn@daily.com. Yeah, he is super sharp. He's a big Philly guy too, so we won't just talk Eagles. We'll get his thoughts on Ben Simmons. We're also going to talk about the Ryder Cup because he is a professional golfer, so I want to get his thoughts on the Ryder Cup. But yeah, Mean Streets every day, man. On Mondays, we kind of just hit on the waiver wire. Wednesdays, we hit on roster trends, something like what we're doing here today. Most added, most drops, and buy low candidates, most traded players. Kind of laugh at the players who have been traded and the players who have been dropped. And on Thursdays, we just preview with Gilles Gallant. He comes on and we do touchdown props, and he's been killing it. Like, this guy is the touchdown king. He's been calling touchdown props here and there. And then this Friday, we'll have Elliot Chris on there to really dive into Sunday's action. So appreciate you having me on. Lots of content, man. I can't believe the content at FTN. Everybody is killing it. I'm so proud to be part of the squad.
So crazy, man. I love that you brought up Blickle here. I've been reading all of his stuff in DFS, and there's you always, like, the eyebrows raise when you read some of these articles, and whether it's correlation and leverage and how to play these different situations in DFS. People need to be signing up for FTNDaily.com. That is a must-read article. If you want to take down a GPP this year, you need to go read that article. It is absolutely fantastic. Again, Adam's going to be back tomorrow with the podcast. Going to have Pat Crane stopping by from NBC Sports Edge to dive through the game-by-game DFS breakdown. Thank you for everybody tuning in. Have a good day. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.